It is really hard these days to avoid the fact that Christmas is quickly approaching. It seems to come earlier every year. Just seems that way, I think. But it's probably a month and a half ago, at least, middle of October. I know it was well before Halloween that I started seeing the displays in the stores and the Christmas decorations for sale and all of that kind of thing. And it's at least a week and a half ago that I saw a stage set up in a mall in Red Deer and prepared for Santa Claus to take pictures with the children. And it just seems to come so quickly. And I put up the lights at home this last week, Christmas decorations, did that before it got so cold. And decorating the house, we put up the Christmas tree and all of that, and the Christmas music is coming out. There are reminders, so many reminders. And then there's also the realization that the calendar is filling up quickly with events that are related to Christmas. Every year we seem to go through this frenzied kind of process. You know, the activities, the programs, the gatherings and parties and meals. We've already had Val's office Christmas party and things like that. And then, of course, there's fighting the crowds at the mall. Last time I was in Red Deer, I said, I think I am finished till after Christmas, because this was still November and it was so crowded. I thought, I'm not a shopper. I don't like that. But anyway, there are so many things, though, that can so easily distract us from the real reason that we have Christmas to begin with. And as George mentioned earlier, in his opening prayer, we have so many people who would like to remove the whole reason for Christmas and believe that Christmas is simply a time for giving gifts and spending time with family. And it is that. But it is so much more. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. I'm not following any kind of Advent calendar or using an Advent wreath this year, but the term Advent means coming, arrival. And the Advent season is about both the first and second comings of our Lord. Many years ago, an organization called Mainstay Ministries put out a whole series of what they call spiritual adventures. And they put out a spiritual adventure series that was entitled Making Christmas Meaningful. The subtitle to it is How to Transform Trivial Pursuits into Memorable Celebrations. And I would like to just focus on that thought for a while this Christmas season. Over the next few weeks, I hope that we can find some ways to make this Advent season and Christmas itself more meaningful. If we're going to do that, we have to be careful not to become distracted from what is most important, from the real reason for the season. We need to turn our eyes to the spiritual matters, the spiritual things that are connected with this season of the year. We need to pay attention to the one who came to be the light of the world, the one to bring light into darkness. Our opening verse, called to worship today, spoke about those who lived in darkness have seen a great light. Jesus Christ is that light. So if you have your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 2, it's a familiar Christmas story, but we're just going to focus on the first two verses this morning, and I want to read those two verses again. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men or magi from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, or my translation says, when it rose, and have come to worship him. Who were these men who came so far to find the Christ child? The word is magos. It is used in only two places in the New Testament. Here in Matthew chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 13. It's used four times in this passage in Matthew 2. And it is translated as wise men or magi, or at least that's the way I say it, magi. In Acts chapter 13, it is used twice, in verses 6 and 8, and there you will find it translated as sorcerer or magician. That's the idea of that word. The Greek dictionary says that it is the name given by the Babylonians, Medes, Persians, and others to the wise men, teachers, priests, physicians, astrologers, seers, interpreters of dreams, augurs, soothsayers, sorcerers, etc. These were men of learning. Now, they were probably also men of great superstition, judging by the usage of that term. But they were men of learning. They probably knew well the stories and the legends of many different peoples in the world. They were, as I said, were probably very superstitious individuals, but they were very sincere in their desire to find the Christ child. So what can we learn from these wise men of the East? I believe that they can show us something that can help us in our search for the true light of the world at this Christmas season. But if we are to follow the star, in a sense, I say that symbolically, but to follow the star and we're to pay attention to the light of Christ this Christmas, there are a number of things we need to do. First of all, we need to be willing to put out some effort. We read that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Now, it's not readily apparent. That's a fairly simple statement. But when you think about it, you realize the effort that was put out by these men in their quest for the Christ. Just a simple phrase, they came to Jerusalem. But implied in that statement is a great deal of effort. Think about where they were from. We don't know for certain, but they probably came from somewhere in the area around Babylon or Persia. That is the most likely. That is what most scholars would say. And if that is where they were from, think of the distance they traveled. Again, we can't say for certain, but it was probably about 800 miles. Because of the way you would have to travel, an 800 mile trip in those days was a major experience. I can't even imagine what it would have been like to travel that far. Today, we have a daughter and son-in-law that live in Lacombe, and his parents live in Winnipeg. It's about 1,500 kilometers. It's getting awful close to 1,000 miles. And they do that trip in one day. But in those days, 800 miles. It was an incredible journey. Think of the planning and the preparation that was needed. Food and clothing had to be packed. And the studying of maps, plotting out the trip. This was more than just some kind of snap decision. It's not like one of them looked out one night and said, hey, look at that star, let's follow it. It wasn't that simple. It was a lot of effort put into traveling to Jerusalem and then the journey itself. 800 miles across a lot of desert-type country, camping out at night. They didn't have inns every 20 miles to stop for the night. What a journey that was. These men put a lot of effort into their search for the Christ child. What are we doing to see and to spend time and to recognize Christ at this Christmas season? If we are to truly pay attention to the light of the world this Christmas, we need to realize that it won't just happen by chance. We need to begin now, at the beginning of this Advent season, to plan how we are going to incorporate the worship of Christ into our celebrations. We need to plan and prepare for the Advent, the coming of Christ. What time will we spend each day and each week focusing on the spiritual significance of the season? The world has done such an amazing job of removing Christ from Christmas and convincing us that this is just a winter holiday to enjoy, that we can easily miss the significance of Christ's coming if we do not put some time and effort into seeing Christ. We need to put effort into our celebrations. Second thing we need to do is that we need to recognize the signs that point us to Christ, who is the light of the world. Notice how alert these wise men were to the signs that directed them to the Christ child. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the days of Herod the king, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star." We saw his star when it rose, as I said, you find in this translation, which is the idea of in the east, as it was coming up in the east. They saw it, and they followed it. Now, we are not entirely sure what this star was. The scripture doesn't indicate that they actually followed a star. It says, we saw his star. The star representing the king of the Jews. They saw a star that somehow told them that there was a king born. Now, I don't know how they knew what the star meant, or how they knew anything about a Jewish king or a Messiah. There's a number of possibilities. First of all, there were Jews obviously dwelling in this area of Persia, in the Persian provinces. In Acts chapter 2, when at the time of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church and formed the church, we read that there were Jews who had come for Pentecost from among the Parthians, the Medes, and the Elamites. That's the lands of Persia. Maybe they spread word about the coming king of the Jews. I don't know. The Messiah. The great Chinese sage Confucius, who lived some 500 years before Jesus, foretold of a coming teacher in the West. Of course, what we call the Middle East would be the West for China. Zoroaster, the founder of the Persian religion, who is thought to have been a contemporary of Abraham, had predicted the coming of a great supernaturally begotten prophet. We don't know how they knew about these things. The Septuagint translation that was made at Alexandria in 280 BC had rendered the Old Testament scriptures into Greek, the language of commerce, and that carried the knowledge of Hebrew prophecy into all lands and had awakened a slight but worldwide expectation of a Messiah. And then there's one that I think is probably one of the more likely things, and that is that you remember when Daniel was taken captive by the Babylonians and he was taken to Babylon, to Persia. Daniel was a godly man who carried the message with him, and it may have been carried down through the generations after Daniel, and so that these men in the east, far away from Jerusalem, knew something about a coming king that was to be the king of the Jewish people. But no matter what the source was of this information, there's no question that these men were alert, and they were open to the reality that this star portrayed. And when they saw the star, they took notice, and they researched it, and they recognized that God was doing something, and they needed to go. They needed to be a part of it. How do we respond to the signs of Christ's presence in our midst? Do we even notice? Do we recognize what God is doing in our family, in our community, in our world? Do we see and recognize the signs that are meant to point us to Christ? Or do we go merrily about our celebration so busy that we forget all about why we're celebrating in the first place? We need to recognize the signs that point us to Christ. The third lesson from these wise men, these magi, has to do with worship. We need to prepare our hearts for worship. Notice what they came to do. They came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." This was not a group of men that was just filled with idle curiosity. They were not thrill seekers who thought that this would just be a great adventure to travel across the world and see some new sights. They came looking. They came searching. They came looking for the King of the Jews because they had one purpose in mind. They wanted to worship him. They wanted to recognize the one that somehow they knew was more than just an earthly king. This was a king from heaven. And they came to worship him. They wanted to give him something. They wanted to share their treasures with him. They wanted to bow down before him and open up gifts for the one who would be the king. And then most of all, it appears that they offered themselves to him in worship and adoration. And all of this could happen only because their hearts were prepared. They came to worship. What about us? Are we prepared? Are you prepared, ready to worship Christ this Christmas season? Are we so busy, though, that we haven't had time to even think about the Christ child? So what can we do to avoid the trappings of this Christmas season and instead pay attention to the one who is the light of the world? I want to suggest some practical ideas to prepare our hearts for this Advent season. First of all, take time to read portions of Scripture, portions of the Christmas story from the Scripture each day throughout the season. You can find all kinds of places, especially now with the internet. You can find Bible reading programs for the Christmas season. You can find various ways of incorporating the Scripture into your Christmas season. And if nothing else, take passages like the Old Testament prophecies from Isaiah 9, or Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9. The New Testament, Matthew 1 and 2. Luke 1 and 2, and read a portion each day just to prepare your hearts and minds for the reality of Christ's birth. That's one idea. Another one, visit someone who is elderly or shut in and share the cheer of Jesus Christ with them. That's not hard for us to do. We have people from our congregation who are basically shut in, and especially when the weather's like this, they just can't get out. We can go and visit them. Read some of the Christmas story. Share some memories of Christmas. Visit with them and share the joy of Christ's coming. Look for opportunities to do things for other people. We can worship Christ by serving others. There are people with needs in our community. There are people with needs all around us. I know that I tend to be blinded to that sometimes. I don't notice the things that are going on. But look for opportunities. And then I would suggest, why not plan and prepare to be in church to worship regularly throughout the season? It's wonderful to be together, to worship the Lord. Let's not get caught up and distracted by all the trappings of the season. Let's pay attention to the true light of the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reminders this morning. Lord, it's easy to get distracted and Christmas season is a busy one for many of us. We have various activities and things going on and personal things. And Lord, we just pray that we might not allow these things to take us away from the reality of Christ's coming. Lord, we pray that we might be open to all that you have for us at this Christmas season. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.